There are no comebacks without setbacks. No comebacks without setbacks. Top of your worksheet, page one. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. I gave you all this last time. But I'm just going to give you those to fill in at the top of the page. Every setback is a setup. A setback is intended not to punish, but to what? Prepare me for my next stage of responsibility. Not intended to punish me, but to prepare me. Okay? Not to punish me, but to prepare me. The setbacks are the stepping stones to my future. They're the stepping stones to my future. We talked about some individuals in the Christmas story that had setbacks of fear. Everybody has fears in life and anxiety and nervousness and issues that they face related to their personal lives and their walk. And how do you deal with those fears will determine what happens to you in your future. So we look at the Christmas story and we look at, of course, Mary. And what does the angel say to her? Do not what? Be afraid. He said it to Mary. He said it to Joseph. He said it to Zechariah. Because immediately when an angel, specifically Gabriel, appears, you're going to take a step back and take a deep breath because this is one ginormous, powerful, the word of God flows through him because he's created to be the carrier of God's message. And he shows up in the middle of a room at night in the home of a peasant girl and says, don't be afraid. Okay. Four times in the Christmas story, not once, but four times. And then, of course, as well as to the shepherds, do not be afraid. And so we looked at that. Mary faced the fear of inadequacy. That's on page one, the fear of inadequacy. And scripture is under there for that. The fear of inadequacy. She was probably 15 years old or so, engaged to be married, getting all ready and prepped for the marriage ceremony. Everything is getting planned out. And Gabriel interrupts the whole scene. He shows up in the middle of the night. That's enough to scare anybody. If Gabriel shows up in your bedroom tonight, you'll come in kind of in the morning, okay? And it won't be because you need coffee. It's going to be because you're afraid. And the angel says, Mary, you're going to get pregnant. And now she's really upset. How can this be? I've never had a relationship with a guy. And then the angel drops the second half of that bomb, and he says, and by the way, you're not only going to get pregnant, you will be carrying the Son of God. Okay, yeah, really? Are you kidding? What's this all about? Why me? Why now? Wouldn't you be a little fearful if Gabriel showed up in your room with that kind of, yeah, of course you would. Do not be afraid. The fear nots, first of the fear nots. Mary's going to have to deal with skepticism from her family. I mean, she's got a long trip ahead of her that she doesn't even know about that's going to be coming with Joseph down to Bethlehem out of Nazareth. She's going to be there by herself. No doctor, no one to help her deliver, no hospital room, no clean environment, no individual to just kind of be there to walk her through the process who's had children before. She's alone. She's feeling inadequate. My goodness. There's no room in the inn, and this little baby's going to be born in a feeding box that's filled with hay, and that's where the animals go and munch at night and stick their drippy nostrils into in saliva, and that's where this little baby boy is going to breathe his first breaths, okay? So you think the little girl is probably a little bit, right? Then there's Joseph's fear, the fear of disapproval. The fear of disapproval, because he gets this word from Mary. Got some news I want to tell you, and I'm pregnant, honey. He knows. Well, wait a minute. We're not married. We haven't had any relations. How am I going to explain this to everybody in town? Who's going to believe this story, right? And imagine, and people are looking around at him, going, "He's crazy. He really believed what she's telling you." That she's still a virgin and she's pregnant, really? Boy, is she selling him a bill of goods. And the Bible says that his first reaction was, I don't want to have her killed because people are going to get angry. Goodness, I'm going to try to carefully hide this by putting her away and taking her out of the picture so that she'll be protected. He still loved her, wanted to protect her. I'm going to protect my fiance. But boy, how in the world am I ever going to explain what just blew up in my face to everybody else? He's full of fear. And who, of course, Gabriel shows up in his room and tells him, fear not. This is the second of the fear nots. Do not be afraid. Who are you afraid of? What disapprovals are you afraid of? Third fear, the fear of unexpected change. Of unexpected change. Shepherds are out in the field, surrounding Bethlehem. They're taking care of, guarding their sheep by night because it's about one of the only times of the year they stayed out all night fully awake to guard their sheep because it was probably some lambs that were being born and they didn't want predators coming up and destroying the herd of newborns. So they're out there, they're paying attention, probably telling a few jokes and a few stories of what happened during the day. And all of a sudden, the whole sky lights up. Extraterrestrials are all over the place. ETs are everywhere. And they're singing and they're shouting and they're making noise. And the night sky is as bright as noonday. And the angel of the Lord again speaks. First thing he has to say to the shepherds who are probably standing there with their jaws dropped open, do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm bringing you good news, great joy. Unto you is born this day a Savior in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. So being caught off guard, the unexpected. And then there's the fourth character, of course, who panics, and we know about him. That's Herod, and he's all upset because the Magi come looking for the newborn king. They've come to worship the king. And remember, he's king. He's king. At birth, he's recognized by the Magi as king. We've come to seek him who's been born king of the Jews. He's king. Sometimes we picture him as this little innocent baby born, you know, and he's in the stable, and it's kind of a cute little thing in some ways when you look at the picture. But he's king. He needs to be honored as king. When he comes back, he's going to be on a white horse, and he'll be King of Kings. That'll be blazoned across him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Herod's upset because this is a threat to him, and he doesn't want to be under any other king. He thinks he's the boss. So he goes out and makes sure that all the babies in Bethlehem under 2 years of age are killed. So this threat will not affect him. He's an evil guy. I mean, he's killed his sons. He's had his wife murdered. He doesn't allow anyone to threaten his authority without putting them to death. He's extremely frightened. And sometimes, you know, we think of the birth of Jesus as kind of a sweet little quiet. It was a pretty raucous, wild time because everybody's like, oh, what's going on here, including the Magi. And by the way, when you get upset and you get afraid, there's always a warning light, just like on your dash when it says check engine. Okay, there's a very simple warning light in your life. The warning light when you need the Lord's intervention is worry. Worry is your warning light. It's the warning light that you're trying to control the uncontrollable. And you're worried and you're fidgety and you're all, and that's your check engine light flashing at you. And when you know when that comes on, you need some help, right? And then, of course, when you look at this story, Herod faced the fear of losing control. The fear of losing control. The fear of losing control. He was going to lose total control because he's not the king. There's only one king. He's Jesus, right? And then Zechariah. He's an older priest. He works at the temple. He's got great assignments. He and his wife have never been able to have any children. And, of course, that's upset them through the years. Because now they've reached the place in life where physically that doesn't look like a possibility any longer. They're both up in age. And this is called the fear of being disappointed. Zechariah faced the fear of being disappointed. He was quite upset and quite concerned. And that's where we want to pick it up, the fear of being disappointed. During Mary's pregnancy, and she hears that she's pregnant, He goes to stay with the couple Zechariah. They had prayed, as I said, for many, many years. But one day, Gabriel shows up at the temple. He meets Zechariah, the priest, and says to him, "It's finally going to happen." Of course, Zechariah is overwhelmed. The scripture says he's overwhelmed. Let me read it to you. It's like unbelievable. What is going on with this? And confused, the scripture says, and really upset. And he's looking at this circumstance, and he's, "Who is this? The angel of the Lord is here in the temple with me?" And he says, "You're going to be a daddy." And Zechariah, he wasn't buying it. He's been disappointed so many times through the years of their marriage. He's rejecting the message of Gabriel. He's not accepting it like Mary accepted it. And she was good with it, but he rejects the message from the angel. And it's an interesting, let me read it to you from Luke chapter 1, because it's an interesting statement that he makes. Zechariah asked the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is old, too old to give me a child." The angel looks at Zechariah and says, "I am Gabriel. I stand beside God himself. He sent me to announce to you this good news. But since you do not believe my words," it's not good to say to God, "I don't believe you," okay? "You'll be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time, and the child born to you will be your sign." So Gabriel exercises a little bit of independent authority here, no doubt granted to him by God, depending on Zechariah's response. And he says, "Because you mouthed off unbelief to me when I delivered to you the word of God, you're not going to say another word." Kind of like Israel marching around the walls of Jericho when God told him, "Keep your mouth shut." Okay? And God says to Zechariah, "You keep your mouth shut. I'm working something here for all of mankind, and you're mouthing off negativity. So guess what? You're not going to do that until it's fulfilled. Then you'll get to say something. And guess what you're going to be able to say then? Praise the Lord." That's exactly what he did. He gave thanks to God. Don't mess with Gabriel. Some people think, well, you know, Michael's the one that's the warrior, and I mean, he doesn't have skin like we have skin. His skin is armament. He's constructed to take on adversaries. He's built that way. Gabriel, on the other hand, the word of God literally runs through and courses through every fiber of his being because he's the message carrier. But don't mess with him. Don't mess with any of these characters. "I stand before God himself." Is that enough right there? Amen? Stand before God himself. So this is a common fear that happens when you've had a setback after another, you start becoming afraid, you start becoming fearful, you don't want to be disappointed. You have the fear of being disappointed again. And everybody's experienced this because you've had things that have happened sequentially that you go, just, you know, you throw up your hands. Been disappointed so many times, I'm afraid to get my hopes up. So in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, while they were serving in the temple, an angel appears to Zechariah, and when he saw the angel, he was confused and overwhelmed. That's being frightened, overwhelmed with fear. He said to him, "Don't be afraid." That's the fourth, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. God's been listening to you." It's about time, right? That's human response. Okay. "I've finally given up." And God has to say, "Don't be afraid." So are you getting the point here that God doesn't want us to be fearful walking around like this all the time, right? No matter what the setback is, God does not want us living in fear. God brought you here so he could say, no matter what you're going through, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Zechariah, you're going to get your baby. A long-awaited son. He's going to be somebody famous. He's called John the Baptist, the cousin of the Messiah. So over these 5 years, which of the five fears, rather, which of these have you struggled with? because you've had setbacks over these five fears. Which of these have you struggled with? Any of them? You had to struggle with some of them. All of them? The fear of being inadequate? I'm not up for this. I can't do it. Why try? The disapproval? I'm going to get put down and rejected. Just going to be a people pleaser because I don't want anybody to disapprove of me. The unexpected change the shepherds experienced. And whenever they stay the same. Fear of losing control, like Herod. Nobody messing with my plans. Fear of being disappointed. Been let down so many times. Don't dare to believe or trust any or hope anymore. So I care about these kinds of things going on in the hearts of people because, like you, I experience the same challenges and the same ability to be affected by circumstances that happen in life and feel like I'm getting set back. But God always plans a comeback. Amen? Always has one. And we can have the comeback if we learn to exchange our fear for faith. To turn your fear of the circumstances into faith and trust in the one who's made a promise to you. How do you replace fear with faith? You do the same four things that these people did at Christmas time in this passage. So let's look at them really quickly. If you want to reduce your fear, your anxiety, panic, first, number one, okay, you ready to write it down? Number one, surrender my life completely to God. Daily. Surrender my life completely to God daily. It starts with surrender. You want the fear to get neutralized? I surrender my life completely to God daily. Surrender is the first antidote to fear and anxiety and panic. You let it go. You give it up. You give yourself to God. And you need to do that every single day. Because the day you don't do it, you start winding up like an overwound clock. Amen? You do it every day. It's how Mary overcame her fear of inadequacy. The Bible tells us Mary prayed a prayer of surrender and put everything she didn't understand into the hands of God and trusted him. In Luke chapter 1, it says, Mary responded when she hears this story being told to her by Gabriel. Well, I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept what God wants for my life. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to accept what God wants for my life. Have you said that? That's a statement of surrender, right? I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever God wants in my life. It's printed for you right there. That's the word of God. That was her response. That's called surrender. You need to whisper that right now. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to accept whatever he wants in my life. Everybody in the room needs to learn to do that every single day. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to whatever he expects of me in life. I'm willing to receive it. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to accept. Accept the will of God in your life. That's the prayer of surrender. Because he's never going to ask you to do something that he won't give you the ability to handle. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. That's the way God does business in his kingdom. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So if I say, I'm willing to do whatever he asks me to do, then he's going to give you the ability to do it if he makes an assignment to you. Your confidence is not in yourself. Confidence is in him. In Job 11, he says this, surrender. It says, surrender your heart to God, turn to him in prayer, and give up your sins. Then you won't be ashamed, and you'll be confident and what? Fearless. So here's how you get confidence and fearlessness. Surrender yourself to God. Your troubles will go away like water beneath the bridge, and your darkest night will be brighter than noon. and you'll rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. Yes, that's what we need, isn't it?
Yes.
Sounds pretty good to you? Sounds good to me. Filled with hope and emptied of worry. How do you do that? With surrender. That's step number one. Every single day, if you're fighting anxiety and fear and insecurity, fear because of a setback, get up in the morning and say, Father, I surrender this day to you, surrender my past, my present, and my future, and I'm trusting you're going to help me through this day. Second thing you need to move past for a setback is you stop listening to the voices of fear. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Number two, stop listening to the voices of fear. Voices of fear are everywhere. You can't go anywhere, listen to anything, without hearing the voices of fear today. All around you are naysayers, or expressions of fear. And the media, in particular, filled with naysayers and fearful people. And they just yak, 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 negative all the time. And by the way, sometimes those fearful voices are inside of you. You don't need to turn anything on to listen to fearful voices. Sometimes you need to stop listening to you. I said, sometimes you need to stop listening to you and replace the fear with faith. Romans 14, whatsoever is not based on faith is what? Sin. Okay? So when you start belching up all this negativity, be careful as you're ready to cross the line into sinning against God with your expressions of doubt, right? Fear is the opposite of faith. And anytime you walk in fear, you're not walking in faith. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but fear is a communicable disease. I said, fear is a communicable disease. It's highly contagious. Are you listening? If you hang around fearful people, guess what? You're going to become fearful. And there's a lot of people, even in the church, and guess what? That's what you're going to turn into. Sometimes you just need to say, stop, okay? Stop. Let me give you a couple of practical suggestions when you are getting your head filled with fearful statements or you're manufacturing them yourself. Or you're hanging around with people spewing this stuff out, turn off talk radio and negative TV shows for a little while at a time. Just shut them off. Because otherwise, you're going to start doing what I do, start yelling at these people, right? Yeah. Because you go, how do people make that much money and get that much power and be so stupid? How is that possible? How is that possible, right? But the more you listen to those programs, the more agitated you're going to get, especially these characters who keep spewing out half-truths, non-truths, manufactured information, and try to embellish because they're so lusting after power, they will say anything, do anything, go on national TV and lie to the public because they want power so much they can't control themselves. And that'll build fear into you, okay? So turn it off for periods of time. Just shut that stuff off. Secondly, start hanging out with people of faith instead of people of fear, okay? Start getting around some people who have faith. With God's help, we can do this. That's why you need a church family. That's why you need to be in a small group, especially a small group where the leader is taking you on a pathway of faith and building confidence in God in you, and not just sitting around allowing you to just become negative and spew out negative stuff. You need to be in a small group that's going somewhere because it's positive, and it's truthful, and it's giving you help from God's word, okay? And third, this is definitely from God. Number three, you need to fill your mind with music and praises toward God. Now remember, these are things that are not necessarily on your worksheet I'm giving you right now. So turn off TV, negative stuff. Start hanging around people of faith instead of negative people. Third, fill my mind with music that praises God. You think, what? Yep. If you're having problems with panic attacks and anxiety and fear and you're getting home agitated, you know the Bible teaches us over and over and over that praise is the antidote to panic. Worship is the cure to worry. Maybe you notice when on the news when somebody's having a crisis, there's been a hurricane or an earthquake, and people have lost their homes or a tornado, and oh my goodness, God, help us. God, why? Because you lose your fear when you know God's around, right? Going through some of the darkest days that you may ever have to go through, you know what the remedy has been in our lives? We'll put on healing scriptures and listen to those for hours and hours and hours, with the background being worship music, so that our hearts are worshipful as we're hearing and ingesting the word of God over and over. Gives us comfort, gives us courage. You might need to do that. Fill the environment you're in with music of praise. Pastor's son died about 3 years ago by suicide. And the pastor, of course, was heartbroken. This happened to one of his children. He said, what I did, he said, number one, we did not turn our TVs on for over a month in our home. We didn't. No television in the home. We just didn't want to, didn't need to. Instead, we filled our home with praise music every single day for over a month. When Mary, this is what Mary did, because she felt fearful in that. She writes a song of praise and she sings it. Amazing. Mary's song is in Luke chapter 1. You want to read it sometime. A lot of times we ignore it because, you know, we're fearful of what she has to say because the Catholic people use this. But listen, this is biblical. This is not extra biblical. This is biblical. 46 to 56 in those verses, a long song, but part of it says, then Mary sang with all her heart, I praise the Lord. She's scared to death, but she says, with all my heart, I praise the Lord. I rejoice in God, my Savior, for he notices and cares for me. Simple, little servant girl. She's praising God. He blessed me, and he's the mighty one who's holy. He's all powerful. He can do anything. He meets all our needs. He keeps all his promises. She's just filling her mind with who God is and what he can do and praising him. This is the Christmas story. That's what it's all about. As I look at that, it's no accident that Christmas is the most music-centered holiday, because at the very first Christmas, everybody sang. Everybody sang. It's the most music-filled holiday of all. Elizabeth sang. Read it. The angels sang. I'd like to hear that, huh? The shepherds, later on after seeing Jesus, they sang. Zechariah, after John was born, he starts breaking out in song. He hadn't been able to talk for 9 months. Oh, boy. He had a song in his heart when it was all said and done, didn't he? Right. He just immediately began to praise the Lord. Mary sang. Joseph sang. I think I've got a little bit. Zechariah was filled overflowingly with the Holy Spirit. And he prophesied and he began to sing. And he gives this prophecy and song. His first words were praises to the Lord, the scripture says. Okay. So if you're having problems with anxiety and fear, and you need to fill your life with music that's biblically oriented, sing the songs of worship, gather with God's people. Don't wait until worship is over and then show up for the rest of the service. You need to get in here with the rest of the people and worship God. The fourth way we defeat the fears that come with setbacks, I base my hope on the promises of God. I base my hope on the promises of God. And by the way, just above that, I've given you all the instances of music surrounding the Christmas story. Mary, Elizabeth, the angels, the shepherds, and Zechariah. They all sang. Isn't that amazing? Fantastic. Yeah. Singing should accompany the celebration of Christmas. And with joy. Thanksgiving. So, base my hope on the promises of God. Not on what I think I can do, but on what God's promised to do. That's what gave Mary and Joseph such confidence. In Luke chapter 1, verse 45, Mary says to Elizabeth, "You're blessed because you believe the Lord would do what he said." Do you believe the Lord will do what he said? That's the question, isn't it, for all of us? Do you believe the Lord will do what he said? Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, David says, "When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in God. And when I trust in God, I'm not afraid. I praise him for what he's promised." I praise him for what he's promised. Because I know when he says something, he'll do it. That's the fourth antidote when you're overwhelmed with anxiety and fear, when you're pummeled by panic and you feel like I'm getting beat down. So whatever setback you're facing in your life, what fear that's holding you back, anxiety that keeps you gnawing inside about, I'm worried, I'm concerned. If you'll take these four simple steps, you'll move towards your comeback, away from your setback. Because your setback is nothing but a stepping stone to your future if you use it the way God intends it to be used. So let's review this. Surrender my life completely to God every day. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Fill my mind with music that praises God. Base my hope on God's promises, right? It's so practical. It's so simple. Anybody can understand this. What a template for how to see a comeback out of a setback. Yet, if we do it, will it work? We have to do this. To just hear me say this won't change your circumstance. You might feel better, but it's not going to change your circumstance. You've got to do what's being said, right? To practice it, to put it in application, to make changes in your life. So everybody who's listening to this tonight, panicking, whatever, trying to control the uncontrollable, and that's what everybody tries to do, worried about what other people think, you've had setbacks, and you've tried all kinds of agendas to try to fix it, and your plans seem to be thrown out the door, and you don't know which way to turn. You've had disappointment after disappointment, like Herod, like Zechariah, the shepherds, Joseph and Mary. They thought what was going to happen would have never happened in their lifetimes. Where they were going to go, they never imagined it was ever finally going to come to pass. And they're now heading as a result of believing God in a new direction, in his direction. And they've all endured moments of fear and concern because four times the angel has to say to them, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because immediately they were, right? Don't be scared. Simple steps. Because God wants us to be anxiety-free and trust him and believe him. And when he says, "I've got you," that he does. And when you tell him, "I don't know what to do," he knows that. He knows you don't know what to do. He knows that. Or, "I'm afraid," he knows that too. Or, "I'm anxious," he knows that too. What he wants me to say is, in addition to those things, "But I surrender to you and I trust you. I don't get it. Or this is painful. Or, wow, I never would have expected something like this. But I trust you. You're going to get me to where I need to go because you're God and I know who you are. But if you don't know who he is, you won't be able to say, 'I trust you.'" Because even if you're a Christian, but you really don't know him, you're not going to be able to trust him. Because you're still trying to, "I can do this myself. Maybe God will help me." No, God's going to help me. Know who he is. He's come through before. It's David facing Goliath, facing all other kinds of circumstances in his life. And he says, the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, is going to deliver me out of your hand next. Because I know the God I serve is greater than a lion, and he's greater than a bear, and he's greater than you. Who do you think you are? My God's greater. See, that's faith. That's trusting God. Now, do you think humanly, when he looked at the size of this guy, his stomach got in a knot for a minute? Yeah, I'm sure it did. Holy cow, look at this guy. Wow. Humanly, this is not possible. But I know the God I serve, and I know who I belong to, whose I am. So I know who he is, and I know whose I am. Let's get him. God will help us. So we surrender ourselves completely to God. Learn to do that every day. I surrender to you every day, Lord. I include the things that scare me. I surrender those to you too. That scare you to death almost. It's like, whoa, takes your breath away. Things that have me anxious and worried, things that cause me panic, I surrender these to you. I want to live my life with faith, not fear. I want to surrender myself completely to you, right? I don't want to walk around always being afraid. And when you realize all the different things that these people went through, they're panicked. They're trying to control uncontrollable things. They've had setbacks. They've had their agendas changed. Shepherds aren't going to be out on the hillsides that night. They're going to have to migrate into the city now and go find the one who's been born. We got to find this king. Wow, we got to find him, right? Their lives have been turned upside down. Herod, Zechariah, the shepherds, Joseph, Mary, all this stuff. So I surrender all these anxieties to you. I will stop listening to the voices of fear. How many times have you allowed yourself to listen to negative voices of fear? And some of those voices are really slick at doing it. They know how to dress up the words, and they know how to package them so they don't sound that bad. But what they're saying is evil and negative, and they make them sound delicious and appetizing because they're trying to appeal to a part of us that all of us carry around, our old nature. And I don't want to listen even to my own voices trying to justify being afraid when I should be in faith. I want to listen to your voice. What do you say? What is your word on this matter? And what is your promises? What are your promises to me? I want to fill my life with praise and worship. When I'm on my way to church on Sunday morning, my car is filled with giving glory to God. Yeah. I'm forever grateful. Gloria, singing to the Lord, praising Him. That's what Mary did. Said, the Holy One has touched me. The one who's filled with glory has come upon my life. So when I'm on my way to church, I give glory to God. And probably blow the ushers out of the ushers area some Sunday nights before service because I've got praise and worship going on, and I'm praising the Lord and honoring God and worshiping Him because I don't want anything cuckoo, negative, or sideways to start getting in my spirit and start saying to me, well, that's a bad thing that happened. That person's doing this. I want to replace all my worry with worship. Amen? When I start to worry, I ask the Lord, would you help me to be checked by the Holy Spirit that that's not pleasing to you? And would you please tell Him to nudge me and say, stop that. That's not pleasing to me. To help me to move into the days ahead, trusting you. I can't wait for 2020. I believe some great things are going to happen this next year. I was watching a clip just before I came out here, and it was a clip about a big gathering at Sun Devil Stadium, of all places, in Arizona. And they anticipate filling the place with worship and praise. The response so far has been overwhelming in terms of people. There's a stirring. And people who think they're doing the right thing right now, and all the negativity and the bad stuff they're spewing out, are lighting the match and the fuel for an outpouring of God and a renewal in this country, the likes of which we have not seen in our lifetimes. So I'm excited about what God's going to do next year. It's going to be powerful and great. And watch God turn all the tables of the money changers over and take his whip out and run them out of town, and watch God do his best to bring a renewal of his spirit upon his people. Lord, move me into the days ahead, trusting you and your promises, and putting my hope not in myself or even in the plans I have, but my hope is in you. And I say that on the authority of these representations of God, the three in one. I say it in the name of the Father and of his great Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let this be the way we conclude this year and start a new one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand and give praise to God, everybody, and bless him and thank him.